We're continuing our studies in the book of Galatians. And I want to read the first seven verses. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world or age, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Again, the book of Galatians is written to brethren. Brethren are those who are seeking to do the will of the Father. Brethren are those who are seeking to please God with their thoughts and their walk with Him. So this message in the book of Galatians is teaching the brethren that living under the law of Moses will not allow you to stand approved in God's presence. Things have changed, brethren. Living under the law of Moses, the ceremonial law, does not give you any more credit. Now, back in the Old Testament days, it did. It kept you in fellowship. And it kept you, and it allowed you to come into the camp instead of being excluded from the camp. I thought it would be appropriate for me to touch on verse 5 a little bit, where it says, "To whom be glory forever and ever." Many times we read in the New Testament the word eternity or everlasting, and this translation of the word eternity and everlasting has not been a very good translation. In fact, the word eternity, or well, the word eternity in the Greek language is just not there. They don't have a word for eternity. But verse 5 is the expression of eternity that you find in the Greek language, and it's the in the words ever and ever. In Galatians, Galatians 1 in verse 4, you see the word world. The word world is the same word as eternal or ever in verse 5. Why they translated it world is beyond me. But it's the same Greek word. And it's, of course, we find in verse 5 it's used twice. And in verse 5 it's plural. So when you read verse 5, it says, "To whom be glory forever," or "from the ages unto the ages." From the ages in the past to the ages in the future. That is eternity. In verse 4, "deliver us from this present evil age," it's not talking about eternity, it's talking about right now, the age in which we're living. And God wants to deliver us from all evil. When we pray, "lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil." From the, what evil? Well, there's all kinds of evil, but one primary evil, I believe, is that of lawlessness. Lawlessness is where we are just surrounded by lawless people. They do whatever they want to do. They kill whoever they want to kill. They rob whoever they want to rob. They beat up whoever they want to beat up. We're living in a day of lawlessness. And you know what? That can affect you and I. We can become lawless. And when we become lawless, we're out of control. We're not under civil authority, much less under God's authority. And you sure do not want to get out from under God's authority. Today, when we think about the situation where we live, they were talking about increasing the speed limit on Hiawatha. The speed limit on Hiawatha is 35, and people are driving up and down Hiawatha Avenue at 50. And the trouble is they don't have enough police to control things. And when you don't have people controlling the law or enforcing the law, then people just simply do whatever they want to do. Now, when we see a squad car, we slow down. But you know what? We cannot see the Lord, but I'll tell you one thing. He sees you. And you need to convince yourself that He does. And that will help control the way we live. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life, age lasting." It's the adjective form of the noun ever. This is singular in number. It's the word age as well in Galatians 1:4. So what age are we talking about in Galatians chapter 6 verse 8? It's not this age, but it's the one that's coming. And what age is coming? The millennial age. And we want to have the good life in the millennial age. We want to rule and reign with Christ. That's what this is talking about. And you sow to that life when? Now. And when do you reap it? In the age to come. But if you sow to corruption, if you sow to debauchery and sin now, what are you going to reap in the age to come? You're going to reap things you don't want. And it's not going to make you happy. Even though you're saved, you're not going to be happy with what the benefits are. And of course, we know the law of the harvest. You drop in one seed, how many seeds do you get back? Not one. You get back a handful. You get back more than you sow. So when you sow to the flesh, you're going to get more corruption than you want. And the same way with sowing to the things of the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life for the age, and you'll get more for your blessing and benefit. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And in the other ages, that is, what ages were those? Those were the ages before. When? Before Paul began to preach and to teach. Because actually Jesus Christ was talking about a mystery for the nation of Israel only. But this mystery has been applied, now has been opened up unto Gentile believers as well. So we see that in other ages was not made known. This is the mystery of Christ. This is Paul's gospel. This is what Paul is preaching. And the gospel of Christ is a gospel that is a mystery. It's been hidden. It's not the gospel of salvation. That's the point there. But anyway, I'm bringing out the word age. Now, in back to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." The calling is for those who have ears to hear. You can call. I was just driving down the street down here on 23rd or 24th Street, 23rd, this street right up down here. The street numbers are all mixed up in this area, and I never have sat down and memorized them yet. But anyway, I noticed the sign down in the next block. It says, deaf child. And that means that there's somebody that lives down there that can't hear. You can honk and you can call all you want to, they'll never respond. And there are people that are in the family, but they just will not respond to the word of His grace. And so Paul says, you responded to my message, and now you're changing. Don't do that. Don't move away from what you've heard and learned. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Notice that salvation comes first. You've got to be in the family before you can hear. A dead man can't hear. If you're not saved, if you're not in the family, you sure can't hear because you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But God also gives ears to hear and eyes to see to some of His disciples, some of those in the family. Now notice that the calling is a holy calling. This is a special calling. This is a calling that is set apart. It's not holy like sinless perfection. This is a calling that is separate, a special calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Notice that if you are a good Girl Scout or a good Boy Scout and you know all the rules, that doesn't qualify you for the calling. That's not what He's saying. This calling is based upon God's decision by Himself without any of our works being involved. Isn't that neat? He calls us unto some special things even though we don't deserve them. I've been reading in 2 Chronicles, and I was reading about David in Jerusalem, Joab, his commander down at Raba, fighting the battle. And I thought to myself, oh no, I'm going to be reading about David's sin. You know what? You skip right over it. 2 Chronicles is looking at David from God's perspective. God did not think, or did not, that was over. And he didn't remember that. Now, it wasn't that he didn't remember it, because we find that when we get into the New Testament. You read Matthew chapter 1, you find Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Not David's wife, Uriah. I believe it's Uriah. Isn't that right? Yeah, right. You're right. Right. Okay. So, then I was reading about Solomon. Now, he had, I don't know, had 300 wives and 900 concubines, and I was reading down through 2 Chronicles. You know what? The Lord does not mention any of that at all. None of that is in 2 Chronicles. So, it's not our works that allows us to be called. It's God's choice. It's according to His own purpose and grace. So the calling is according to His grace, and it was given unto us before the what? Ages began. In other words, before the foundation of the world, He chose, He elected some in the body of Christ. Now, this calling that Paul says that you are now moving away from is the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel. Paul preached. This is what Paul preached, the gospel of Christ. And the purpose of that was that those who would hear and respond could obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When will we obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we find that in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. When do we obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? In His coming kingdom. But notice that it does say that we need to walk worthy. Because even though God called us, not taking into account of the fact that He knew how we would behave, because God knows the end from the beginning. He knows, He knew all of the sins of David, and He knew all of the sins of Solomon and everybody else, and you and I. And yet, out of His mercy and grace, He has called us to have an opportunity to have some special blessings. And we just need to respond to them and live a life that is pleasing to Him. And that has to do with faith and grace. So, we need to walk worthy of God who hath called us unto this kingdom and glory. Now, the children of Israel were not walking worthy of this calling. You know why? Because they were trying to please God by keeping the ceremonial law. And they were also trying to please God by only keeping the moral law. They were moving away from living by faith. And Paul was reminding them that we are justified by faith, for the just shall live by faith. And justification has to do with approval. If you're not justified, you're chargeable. If we're justified, just like in 2 Chronicles, the Lord skips over Bathsheba, the Lord skips over Solomon's concubines and all of his wives. Well, I sure want the Lord to skip over a few things in my life, don't you? So, anyway. Now, the calling is for those that are the hearing. Then shall the Matthew chapter 13, 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You got ears to hear? Respond. Hear it. Respond. Now, it's the grace of Christ. This is something that we have heard over and over from this pulpit. The grace of Christ has to do with the power, with His power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and He said unto me, that is unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Whose weakness? Paul's weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I, Paul, rather glory in mine infirmities, my weaknesses. For what reason? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. When the power of Christ is resting upon us, who is getting the glory? The Lord is getting the glory. We're getting the benefit of His grace, but He is getting the glory because it's His strength that's providing us the ability to endure. Paul told Timothy, therefore, my son, in 2 Timothy 2:1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We don't need to be weak in this. We need to be focused on it. Now, to be strong in His grace, there's a lot that we can say about that in the sense that it takes exercise. If we're going to be strong physically, it takes exercise. What kind of exercise do we need to have when it comes to His grace? Well, we need to go to the throne of grace. And that takes will, it takes effort. And by going to the throne of grace, we're going to be strong in His grace. And you can't go down to the throne of grace and have sin in your life. God is not going to put His power on you. He's not going to give you His power to serve whom? The devil or the world. If you have the grace of God, you have His power and He wants you to serve Him. And so that's the reason why He gives us grace. And Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace. And of course we know from Hebrews 12:28 that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. Entrance into that kingdom, the qualifications are set. They cannot be moved. They're not going to be changed. So therefore we need to have grace. May we have grace, present tense. That means it's all the time, all the time, all the time. We need the grace of God. For what reason? that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We need to please God. And the way we do that is by His grace. And of course, you can't get grace apart from faith, because Romans 5:2 tells us that. So, when you look in Romans 5:21, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Whose righteousness? Our righteousness. Grace is not going to reign if we're not living right. That's the point. We're not talking about the righteousness, so to speak, that people talk about imputed to us because we are saved. This is right living. Grace cannot reign if you're not living right for the Lord. And it will not lead unto life for the age, the millennial age. So we need to allow grace to reign. Now, back in Galatians 1, verse 7, it says, which is not another gospel, that they were moving away from to another gospel, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. In Mark 1:1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the first mention of the gospel of Christ. And first mentions establish precedence. In other words, and if it bears out throughout the New Testament. And so the gospel of Christ is not the plan of salvation. The gospel of Christ pertains to the coming kingdom, because that's what Jesus Christ was teaching when He came. He was not telling them that you need to put your trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that was the plan of salvation in the Old Testament. He was telling them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You saved Jews need to change your life and start living right. And He wasn't asking them back in those days to live by faith, because faith hadn't been revealed yet, because the law was still in place. Even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and those in Hebrews 11 lived by faith, what happened is we find in Romans chapter 4 that they were given credit for living by faith, because the law had not been done away with. Well, we'll get into that in the book of Galatians as we go on. But the first mention of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the Son of God is in Mark 1, and that had to do with His kingdom. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Notice the so great salvation was what was preached by the Lord at the beginning. So this salvation here is not the common salvation. This is a salvation of the soul. This is a salvation that is associated with the kingdom. In fact, Peter said, talking about the rich man, when the rich man walked off because he didn't want to live by faith, Peter says, who then can be saved? And then the Lord turns right around and says, it's very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. So salvation sometimes means entering into the kingdom. Salvation sometimes means being born from above. It's a term or a word that is used for different things. Just like Peter, when he was walking on water and he began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me. Now Peter wasn't looking for the Lord to tell him the Roman road, so to speak. He wasn't looking for Him to tell him the plan of salvation. You see what I'm driving at? Okay, I hope you can get that. Now, God also bore them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Who was it that was allowed to bear witness of this? It was those who heard Him. They are the ones who did signs, wonders, and miracles. Actually, I'm not in the sign, wonders, and miracles business, because I didn't hear Jesus Christ teach. The apostles did. Some of the disciples did. You know, many disciples did. Even Paul did on the backside of the desert. So Paul, we will see in Romans 15, he performed signs, wonders, and miracles when he was preaching the gospel of Christ. In Romans 15:19, through many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. How did Paul do that? With mighty signs and wonders. So, Paul was one who preached the gospel, and God confirmed his message with signs and wonders. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you to according to my gospel. What was Paul's gospel? The gospel of Christ. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world, not the world began, but the ages. That's the same word we're talking about in the plural, in the ages before. So, Paul's gospel was a mystery. And this was not a revelation on how to be saved. That's the point. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The revelation of Paul was that Gentiles could enter the kingdom. Before that, Gentiles and Samaritans were out. That message of repent ye for the kingdom of heaven that is at hand was not to be to the Gentiles and not to be to the Samaritans. But now it's to us as well. We can be saved. Gentiles have always been able to be saved, but Gentiles have not always had the privilege of entering the kingdom of the heavens. Okay? Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, talking about this salvation, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory, or glory for the coming age. Notice that this salvation is where? It's in Christ. This is a salvation in the body of Christ for believers, because the salvation outside of the body of Christ is for the lost to bring them into the body. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we have reference to the gospel of Christ. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And notice that I underline the letters ETH. You know what that means? This, every time you see the word believe with ETH on the end of it, this is in the present tense. This means that you got, this is something you can stop doing. When you find something in the present tense, that's, you graph it with a line. And that line you can stop. So the gospel of Christ is for the ones that are believing in the present tense. Continuous action. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's the reason why we have Mark 1:1. The beginning of Christ's ministry was to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. When did that happen? That happened when Peter went down to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius was squirming, and he says, you know, it's not lawful for me to be here, but I'm here because I saw a vision, and the Lord just gave me a swift kick to get down here. Anyway, Peter opened that door, but also to the Jew. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God has to do with being just. being approved. From faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Is that phrase found in the book of Galatians? It sure is. Galatians 3:11, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Justification means approved. Approval. Justification means, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay? So, now, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Notice that the gospel of Christ has to do with the way you live. You can't live in sin and be justified, okay? Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and this gospel is of Christ. Notice, one spirit. I think this spirit here is not the Holy Spirit, but the spirit that is found in the book of Galatians, which is the Abba Spirit. What is the Abba Spirit? I know, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. You made heaven and earth. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is standing fast in that spirit with one mind. What mind is that? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You do not want to get distracted with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and all the things that can go with having fun. Now, I'm not against having fun, and God's not against having fun, because you know that He is for that, because He chose fishermen, and fishermen have fun. Fishing's fun for some. Anyway, let's go on. Then it says faith and the gospel of Christ. We need to associate faith with the gospel of Christ. And we can do that in 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. What do you mean to establish? Well, what were the Galatians doing? They were moving away. And Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica to keep them from moving, to establish them, and to comfort. Well, I think this word here could be better translated, exhort. He wasn't there to comfort them and pat them on the back and say, you're a good little boy and all that. He was there to exhort them concerning their faith. Paul exhorted the brethren while he was in his missionary journeys to continue in the faith, continue in his grace. The point is this, we can depart from the faith. And to depart means movement. And we need to be established that we move not away from pleasing God by faith. So, faith, by the way, is the same thing as believing in the present tense. I want you to know that, since we emphasize in Romans 1:16 that the gospel of Christ is for the ones believing in the present tense. It's a participle. And we see that in Romans 3:21 and 22. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. And of course, it's interesting, the word without really implies it is, you cannot be unlawful or lawless and be justified, but we'll talk about that at another time. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. That word believe is in the present tense. Now here's one place where the ETH is not there, and I believe the reason for that is because they just left it off. that's the only thing I can say. But anyway, there is no difference. So faith and believe are equivalent. Faith and believe in the present tense are equivalent. Now, Paul said in Galatians 1:7, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, we've already read that justification by the law in Paul's day was not you couldn't do it apart from faith. Galatians 5, verses 4 and 5. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. What happens when you fall from grace? You can't serve God acceptably. Anything you do for God is not acceptable. You don't get any credit for it. Why is it you don't get any credit for serving God apart from grace? Well, we've already found out that grace is the power of Christ, right? So if you don't have His power, whose power are you working under? The power of the flesh. My power. And if I'm out there serving God, quote unquote, in the power of the flesh, what am I going to reap? Corruption. Ruin. So, do I want to fall from grace? No. How can I fall from grace? By having a list of rules and regulations and also the ceremonial law as well, back in Paul's day. For he goes on in verse 5, for we through the Spirit, what Spirit? The Spirit of His Son, the Abba Spirit. Wait for the hope of righteousness. How? By faith. The hope of righteousness is the hope of standing approved in His presence. Now, in Paul's day, there were those who were perverting the gospel of Christ, saying that you got to keep the ceremonial law of Moses, and if you keep the moral law, you'll be okay. But you know, I believe that the gospel of Christ is being perverted today, but not that way. We're so far removed from the ceremonial law that's not an issue. Nobody's, encouraging us not to be circumcised and to go to Jerusalem three times a year, like the law of Moses required. That's not the issue. I think that the perversion of the gospel of Christ today is applying that gospel to the common salvation of getting born again. There are those that are perverting the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is not for the common salvation. The gospel of Christ is for the salvation of the soul, to rule and reign with Christ. Jude wrote, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. In other words, Jude was getting ready to encourage them and instruct them on how to be saved, or the common salvation. And the Lord said, It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Notice that the common salvation is not the same thing as contending for the faith. There are people today that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And you know what? If they can get you to believe that the only thing in the New Testament is getting saved, born again, then the message of the glory of Christ and His coming kingdom just simply does not, it just goes off in the fog. May the Lord help us to appreciate the blessings that God has given to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews, that we one day can rule and reign with Christ and share in His glory. And we do not want to let the gospel of Christ lose its value in our minds, in our hearts. Father, I just thank You for Your word. And I pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts and lives, that we might be focused upon the hope that is before us, knowing that if we try to justify ourselves in the flesh, we are going to fall from grace. But Lord, help us to faithfully wait for the hope of righteousness, which is by faith. Bless the message to each of our hearts and to those who will be listening in the days ahead. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.